Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As we begin, I first would like to acknowledge with deep gratitude the invitation from your congregation through Pastor Volker that I might be with you this day sharing God's word and proclaiming it from this pulpit, but also sharing with you a word about the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. The Lutheran Heritage Foundation is a mission organization of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, endorsed through the Synod's Board for Mission Services. But as a mission organization, the Lutheran Heritage Foundation does not send out missionaries. Rather, the Lutheran Heritage Foundation provides a valuable resource for missionaries, for pastors and evangelists, for teachers, and for the home in nations around the world. We translate. We don't translate Holy Scripture. There are other organizations that do that on behalf of the church, and we are thankful for their service. But what we do is build upon those translations of literature and provide the literature of the Lutheran Church in more than 90 languages distributed in more than 70 nations around the world. Our work began almost 19 years ago in Russia and neighboring countries when communism failed and the Iron Curtain was torn. Then we wondered what we could do as an organization to help the re-emerging Lutheran people of Russia and neighboring nations. And they said they did not request from us assistance for raising their children and educational materials or health resources, that they did not request from us other aspects of human care or social ministry. But what they wanted from us to help them as re-emerging Lutherans in Russia and the neighboring nations in the Baltic area was that for us to provide the Lutheran literature that had been lost or destroyed since the communist revolution of the early 20th century. And that began our work. And from there, we've received invitations into Africa, into Asia, and most recently into Latin America and South America. And we go into those nations and translate into those languages as we receive invitations and as our resources permit. Perhaps you will help us by providing some resources so that we can continue to do this work in these 70-plus nations, with more nations asking us to come and help them also. Brothers and sisters, our text for this morning is the verse that immediately precedes the gospel reading from Matthew chapter 5, where Jesus illustrates the life of people of Christ, one commandment after another. And he says, "You have heard it said in days of old, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not swear falsely. But I say unto you, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." That is our text. People sometimes ask us, "What is it with you Lutherans? What are you saying when you say that we are not holy and righteous by obedience to God's commands, but rather righteous and holiness still are necessary, as well as obedience? What are you talking about?" they might say. "What kind of righteousness is that that you are speaking of?" Allow Jesus to explain. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus speaks of two types of righteousness, and he commends to us the righteousness and holiness that opens the door of heaven. That's the righteousness that Jesus commends. And this must be understood if we truly are to be involved in genuine Lutheran mission work. Now, the righteousness and holiness that opens the door of heaven, that is what Jesus would give to us, and that is what we are to do in our mission work, to communicate this righteousness to the nations of the world in whatever language they speak and hear. You see, we don't want to be Pharisees. We know that. But being a Pharisee is easy. And as we think about it, we might be willing to admit that also. Why? Why is it easy to be a Pharisee? Well, it's easy to be a Pharisee because it is both natural and easy to be selfish. We can see the selfishness of human nature if we look at a child that is but 7 days old. Already a child at seven wants to be the center of attention, at least to satisfy the needs for life, hunger and nurture and care and warmth. And it wants those needs satisfied now, without giving any thought to the needs of other people around. And that selfishness of a seven-day-old child doesn't disappear. And although as we grow in size, and although we have birthdays one year after another and mature in that entire process, even at the years of 70 and beyond, we realize that there are selfish instincts within us that would cause us to desire to be the center of attention, the center of everyone's life, whether 70 or 7 days, or any other age along the continuum. You see, it is easy. It is easy to be a Pharisee because a Pharisee has a love for self. A love for self, not a love for God and other people. But it's this love for self that causes the ever-present Pharisee within us to lead a model life and do good. And yet we scratch our heads. And we wonder. We scratch our heads and wonder about estimated populations of our cities. And the census bureaus wonder how many people there are in this part of the nation, in this part of the world. But the census bureau cannot count the ever-multiplying number of Pharisees among us. They are present. They are present everywhere. And they are present within Christianity. And I regret to say, though we must admit, they are present also within Lutheranism. Well, if that's the case, preacher, what do they look like? What is their modus operandi? What is their manner of operation? What is their MO? You see, a Pharisee conforms his outward life to the Ten Commandments. And that's good, isn't it? And a Pharisee goes to church on Sunday and receives the sacrament of the altar. And that's good, isn't it? And a Pharisee reads the Bible and prays, often fervently. And that's good too, isn't it? And a Pharisee helps the poor and those in need. And that truly is good also. So what is the problem? What is the problem with this Pharisee if all of these things are so good? Shouldn't we all be doing those things? Indeed, we should all be doing those things, and we all do these things to one extent or another. But the ever-present Pharisee within does it because of an expectation of God's reward and blessing now, and an expectation of the bliss of heaven eternally. That's the difference. They think, those Pharisees around us and the Pharisee within, they think they're rewarded for what they do. They have forgotten what we confess in Luther's explanation to the third article. I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, or any act of obedience or righteousness on my part, I cannot believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him based upon those actions and those deeds of mine. But the ever-present Pharisee within continues to think that somehow he deserves a reward for what's done now. He deserves that reward now and forever. You see, with this, Christ is removed from the picture. It's like a sick man who disregards the doctor's advice and counsel. The ever-present Pharisee within us says, no need for that M.O. that led Christ to the cross of crucifixion. I'll prescribe my own manner of operation. Thank you. And this is the very opposite of the teachings of the books that are translated and distributed and introduced by the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. For these books are based on the Bible and the teachings of Holy Scripture. These books focus and center on Christ and His work of redemption and the righteousness that He has earned and would give to all. These books are based upon the teachings of the Lutheran Reformation as we learn them and as we confess them together as the people of God. But how about us? How about us, those of us that are gathered here together on this day around Word and Sacrament? And how about the fields that are white unto harvest here in our own part of the world and around the world in many nations? Will the door be open for us? Will the door be open for the nations? Let us examine. Examine our ways and our motives for following godly righteousness and leading holy lives. Though it is easy to be a Pharisee, following our natural selfishness, it is neither wise nor safe to be one. It is a slippery slope. And once we start sliding down that slippery slope, what will prevent us from going off the edge, never to return? You see, the selfish righteousness of the ever-present Pharisee within excludes us from heaven. Once we've gone off the edge of the slope, if we could turn around, we will find that the door is closed, the gate is barred, and there is no return. This can never be taught, and it can never be implied with the books that are produced and distributed by the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. Books that are used to teach people of the righteousness of Christ, the obedience of Christ, and how this has been done for us because the Pharisee within could never accomplish it sufficiently for our redemption, our forgiveness, and salvation. True Christian righteousness, true Christian holiness exceeds the righteousness of the ancient Pharisee and also the ever-present Pharisee within. And how could that be? True Christian righteousness and holiness proceeds not from love for self, but from humble, grateful love for a merciful God and from unselfish love for others. That is why the Bible and the books of the Lutheran Heritage Foundation teach that love is the fulfilling of the law. It is not only what is to be avoided, but acts of love that are evident in our life. Christian righteousness and holiness that opens the door of heaven does not keep the commandments for the purpose of entering heaven, as if we could knock down the door with our many good deeds that we would parade before others and present before the Father's throne in heaven. Christian righteousness and holiness knows the reality that we are totally deficient. Chief of sinners though I be, is what we sing and confess, and there would be no hope except that Jesus shed His blood for me. And thus we build on Jesus' blood and righteousness and not on any merit or works of our own. Still, Christian righteousness and holiness is zealous. Zealous in striving to obey God's holy commandments. And Lutheran Heritage Foundation books teach this too, and provide this resource also in more than 90 languages for the nations around the world. We do this from the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. You do this from Gethsemane Lutheran Church. You do it in your own life, because it is the true desire of the one who is baptized and daily comes forth and arises, as if raised from the dead, to walk and live before God in righteousness and purity forever. This is how we live out our righteousness, because it is the earnest demand of our Father in heaven. We live out this righteousness and we teach it and proclaim it because loving and obedient children of God are righteous and follow the holiness given by Christ himself in baptism, sealed and strengthened in the Holy Communion. This is the righteousness that we depend upon, the righteousness given us by Christ, because without such righteousness and holiness, a free gift of grace, the door will not be open, and we will not see the Lord. Our Lord has given us his righteousness. Our Lord has given us his holiness. This is a free gift, exceeding the ever-present Pharisee among us and even within us. For those who live according to it, the door is always open to his heart. And because the door is open to the Lord's heart, not only for us, but for people of every nation and every tongue, we at the Lutheran Heritage Foundation are happy that we have had the opportunity to be with you today. And as you are able and as you are inclined, we would thank you for any resources that you could provide, that we might continue to share that with the nations around the world, to share the righteousness and the holiness that opens the door of heaven. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.